Douglas Crook, Wednesday, January 18th, 2012.
Let's begin this evening in Proverbs 12 and verse 19. We're under the heading of lying, and in your booklet there, it's either on page 29 or 30 in that vicinity. Last week, we began to consider the introduction to this heading. We gave some New Testament doctrinal statements concerning how lying is still in this church age, this age of grace. It is simply inappropriate for a child of God, and it does not please Him. And so, as we begin to look at the specific proverbs this evening that deal with lying, we understand that this is New Testament doctrine as well, that this is God's will revealed to us, what He thinks about it. And therefore, if we want to please our Heavenly Father, if we want to be like Him, these are the things that we need to seek the Lord to work in us. And again, it's not a matter of effort. It is a matter of surrender, that we surrender to the life of Christ in us. We surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit. But it is a voluntary, willing surrendering of our will to His will. So let's begin in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19, where we read these words. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. This proverb is ancient, but we see its truthfulness yet today in this modern world in which we live. Lying may have its moment where it apparently provides for us what we want, either success or advantage for that particular moment. There are times when it looks like lying has been successful, that it gets you out of trouble or it does this. There are times when you get away with a lie. But according to this passage, it's really only for a moment. Once you begin down that road of lying, one lie will have to lead to another and another, and you begin to build a house of cards, and before long, sooner or later, that house of cards is going to collapse under the weight of truth. And so it's best not to even start down that road. How many public scandals have we seen just of late, not to mention all through history, but where men and women lie? And we're in a political season, and so it's put right there before us. Men and women lie in the moment, and at the moment they seem to get away with it. But that moment quickly passes, and things collapse. The Bible, its truths, its principles, we can build our life on it. We can trust God's word concerning these things. Those who live lives of honest integrity, in contrast to having just a moment of success and then destruction, it says that they will be established forever. When you live your life in the light of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and when you let it transform you and all of your relationships and all of your actions and reactions, you will be established in the will of God. Men and women of integrity often are rewarded even in this life, in business and in careers. Many times people advance because of being deceitful and lying, and they have their moment of success. But those that are conduct themselves in their business with integrity and with honesty, oftentimes in this life they are rewarded, not always. Doing the right thing doesn't always lead to being acknowledged and recognized in this life. Many times it does. But even when it doesn't in this life, the proverb is still true. What God is doing in you and through you through that testimony of honesty and integrity, that will be established forever. It will not be forgotten, and it will not go unrewarded. Let's go back to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 4. Where Paul gives this exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 to 12. When we talk about speaking the truth and not lying, obviously it It applies to doctrinal teaching. We should always proclaim the truth. But these principles that are being laid out for us, both in the Old and New Testament, they apply to every aspect of your life, every relationship, every transaction. We are to be men and women of integrity, trustworthy. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to 12 says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly. Now, King James translates it honestly, and both are good translations. It can be understood in either sense, that you walk properly or honestly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. I have come across Christians that say, yes, you know, it's good to be truthful, and especially in your business transactions with other Christians. We should always treat other Christians with integrity. But the world is another story. They're lost and they rebel against God, and so it doesn't matter how we treat them. I've actually had people tell me that, but they're not reading their Bible. Because the Bible says, even to those who are outside the family of God, you deal with them with integrity, truth, honesty. This kind of testimony, this kind of practical teaching of Scripture is what God's people need to hear. Because there is so much reproach brought to the gospel. And I've known preachers that are dishonest in their dealings with those outside. And it brings such a reproach to the gospel. Because we declare that the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth, and you can trust it, and you can trust Jesus as your Savior. But if from that same clay vessel comes, this is truth, and then we say things that are clearly proven to be false, do you see how that brings a real reproach to the gospel of truth? So may we truly call upon the Lord to live a life of honest integrity. The next verse in the list is found in Proverbs 12 and verse 22. And this really should be our motivation. When we read these Proverbs, it's not about us trying to be good, but it is about us loving the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting always to please Him and never to displease Him. So verse 22 of Proverbs 12 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to whom? To the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight." Do you want to delight the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave His life for you? Tell the truth. And again, this is for children, adults. It's for everybody. If you want to really thrill the heart of the one who gave His life to save you, always tell the truth in every circumstance, in every situation. God hates lying. And why wouldn't God hate lying? He is truth. He Himself cannot lie. He hates lying. He's the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. So this is why He delights in the truth, and He delights in those who are truthful. Let's go to John 8, where Jesus says some pretty strong things here that ought to cause us to stop and think next time we're tempted for whatever reason. Again, there are many motives for lying. Some of them are just, you know, I'm going to try to get out of trouble here. Some of them, I'm trying to control somebody. Sometimes we lie because we want to gain some advantage. But it doesn't matter what the motive is. Lying is an abomination to the Lord. And He delights in those who are honest. And this is another reason why. John 8, verses 44 and 45. Jesus speaking to the religious leaders of His day who were rejecting all of the evidence that Jesus was the Son of God. He says to them, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He, your father, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." That's some pretty strong words, isn't it? Jesus says Satan's the father of all lies, and that God is the source of all truth. Not just doctrinal truth, but God is the source of all that is true and right and trustworthy and reliable. So the question we have to ask ourselves as Christians, and again, if these are just so many verses of rules and regulations, then forget it. You're not going to benefit from it. I'm not going to benefit from it. But if we understand that this is the will of God, and that we have within us the very nature of God who cannot lie, we understand we can be individuals of integrity. No matter what our tendency is, no matter what our heritage is, there are some people that were raised in a household where lying was just a way of life, and they learned it well. But even if you were raised in such an environment, if you are a child of God, that makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. God is your father. Now the question is, who do you want to imitate? The devil, who's the father of lies, or your loving heavenly father, who cannot lie? Surrender your life to him, knowing that he delights in those who tell the truth, delights in those who deal truthfully in every circumstance. Now we'll read the next two verses, the next two proverbs in the list together. First of all, Proverbs 17 and verse 20. Proverbs 17 and verse 20. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil or calamity. And then in Proverbs 19 and verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Again, people often lie because they believe it gives them some kind of advantage or some kind of benefit or some kind of success. But ultimately, lying never leads to success. It will always lead to loss and ruin and calamity. Not always in this life, that is true. But ultimately, for the unbeliever, before the great white throne judgment, nothing's going to go unnoticed. Nothing is going to be hidden. For the child of God, who's saved by grace eternally, we must stand, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be rewarded or withheld reward for the things done in this body as a child of God. And so honesty will never go unrewarded, and dishonesty will never go unpunished. And so we need to remember that when we're tempted. It's so easy in circumstances and situations, especially if that's our tendency, it's so easy to go there. But let the Word of God transform your thinking. No, it never goes unpunished. I want to please my Father. I want to be like my Father. So in this circumstance, even if it has a moment of discomfort or a moment where it appears it's not beneficial, I'm still going to do what's right in the sight of God, and I'm going to be honest. May the Lord help us to always have that attitude. Proverbs 19 and verse 22. Proverbs 19 verse 22. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. And ask yourself, would you rather be a rich liar or a poor, truthful man? Well, you look at the world, and the world will give you a very quick answer. They would rather be a rich liar. And there are many. Just a month or two ago, I saw in the news about a survey that was done that people in the workplace that tend to be meaner and crueler to their coworkers usually advance faster in the workplace than those that are very considerate of their coworkers. And so that's how the world works. You want to advance up the ladder. You do whatever it takes. You say whatever it takes in order to keep going forward. But according to God's standard, kindness and integrity are for far greater values and virtues, because their value lasts for eternity. those that gain riches by lying and deceitfulness, they may get pretty rich, but they're going to die. And then what's going to happen? That's the end of their profit. But those that are willing to live lives of integrity, it will pay dividends for eternity. Matthew 6 and verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 verse 19. Do not lay up treasures for your, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we will be honest in our daily relationships and dealings with others, we are laying up treasures in heaven, because those are the things that honor the Lord. Those are the things, that testimony is what point others to the reality that Jesus saves and transforms, and that he has a hope that goes beyond this life. And that's a treasure. And so if you are really looking forward to Jesus coming, if you are looking forward to what God has laid up for you, you're not going to have any trouble being honest. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Chapter 21, verse 6. Chapter 21, verse 6. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. That's pretty much what we just said, wasn't it? I'll read two other translations and then we'll quit tonight. But the English Standard Version gives this translation. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. And yet that's how the world works today. In the work world, say whatever you need to say. Make the sale. Do the business. But it's just a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. The Message gives this paraphrase. Make it to the top by lying and cheating. Get paid with smoke and a promotion. To death. To death. That's what it leads to. All right, we better stop there. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed.